Euphoria.
Them superpowers getting neutralized. I can only watch in silence. The famous actor we once knew is looking paranoid and now spiraling. You're moving just like a degenerate. Every antic is feeling distasteful. Why calculate you're not as calculated? I can even predict your angle. Fabricating stories on the family front, cause you heard Mr. Morale. A pathetic master manipulator, I can smell the tails on you now. You're not a rap artist, you're a scam artist with the hopes of being accepted. Tommy Hilfiger stood out, but FUBU never had been your collection. I make music that electrify them, you make music that pacify them. I can double down on that line, but spare you this time. That's random acts of kindness. Know you're a master manipulator and habitual liar too. But don't tell no lie about me, and I won't tell truths about you.
I'm out the way, yeah, I'm low, okay. Yeah, the island right here is remote, okay. I ain't thinking about no reaper. Nigga, I'm reaping what I sow, okay. Got a Benjamin and a Jackson all in my house, like I'm Joe, okay. Hellcat, met his homeboys and them types LA solo, okay. Everybody wanna be demon till they get chipped by a throwaway. And I might do a show a day. What's a lame? Always a lame. Oh, you thought the money, the power of fame will make you go away. Have you ever played? Have you ever? Okay, nigga, let's play. Have you ever watch your enemy down? Like with a poker face, have you ever paid 500,000 like to an open case? Well, I have, and I failed at both, but I came out straight.
I hate when a rapper talk about guns, then somebody die, they turn into nuns, then hop online like pray for my city. He faking for likes and digital hugs. His daddy a killer, he wanna be junior. They must have forgot the shit that they done. Dementia must run in his family, but let it get shaky. I park your son. The very first time I shot me a Drake, the homie had told me to aim it this way. I didn't point down enough. Today I show you I learned from those mistakes. Somebody had told me that you got a ring on God, I'm ready to double the wage. I'd rather do that than let a Canadian nigga make Pac turn in his grave. Cutthroat business, you got shit twisted. What is it, the brakes? I hurt your feelings, you don't work with me no more. Okay, it's three ghosts left, and I see two of them kissing and hugging on stage. I love them to death, and in 8 bars I'll explain that phrase. It's nothing nobody can tell me. I don't wanna talk on no celly. You know I got language barriers. It's no accent you can sell me. You're cold and ivory, no, I'm a selfish nigga. The crown is heavy. I pray they my real friends. If not, I'm YNW Melly. I don't like you popping shit at Pharrell. For him, I inherit the beef. Yeah, fuck all that pushing P. Let me see you push a T. You better off spinning again on him. You think about pushing me. He's Terrence Thornton, I'm Terrence Crawford. Yeah, I'm whooping feet. We ain't gotta get personal, this a friendly fade. You should keep it that way. I know some shit about niggas that make gonna wanna look like a saint. This ain't been about critics, not about gimmicks, not about who the greatest. It's always been about love and hate. Now let me say I'm the biggest hater. I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk. I hate the way that you dress. I hate the way that you sneak this. If I catch flight, it's gonna be direct. We hate the bitches you fuck, cause they confuse themselves with real women. Then notice I said we, it's not just me, I'm what the culture feeling. How many more fairy tale stories about your life till we had enough? How many more black features till you finally feel that you're black enough? I like Drake with the melodies, I don't like Drake when he act tough. You gon' make a nigga bring back Puff. Let me see if Chubbs really crash something. Yeah, my first one like my last one. It's a classic, you don't have one. Let your core audience stomach that, then tell them where you get your abs from. V12 is a fast one. Boom, boom, boom. Last one. Headshot for the year. You better walk around like Daft Punk. Remember? Hey, Top Dog, who the fuck they think they playing with? Extortion my middle name as soon as you jump off of that plane, bitch. I'm allergic to the lame shit, only you like being famous. Yachty can't give you no swag neither. I don't give a fuck about who you hanging with. I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk. I hate the way that you dress. Surprised you wanted that feature request. You know that we got some shit to address. I even hate when you say the word nigga, but that's just me, I guess. Some shit just cringeworthy. Ain't even gotta be deep, I guess. Still love when you see success. Everything with me is blessed. Keep making me dance, waving my hand, and it won't be no threat. I'm knowing they call you the boy, but where's the man? Cause I ain't seen him yet. Matter of fact, I ain't even bleed him yet. Can I bleed him?
Bet.
When I see you stand by Sexy Red, I believe you see two bad bitches. I believe you don't like women. It's real competition. You might pop ass with them. Let's speak on percentage. Show me your splits. I'll make sure I double back with you. You assigned to a nigga that signed to a nigga that said he was signed to that nigga. Try cease and desist on a like that record. Oh, what? You ain't like that record? Back to back. I like that record. I'ma get back to that for the record.
record.
Why would I call around trying to get dirt on niggas? Y'all thinking my life is rap? That's whole shit, I got a son to raise.
But I can see you don't know nothing about that.
Waking them up,
know nothing about that.
Then tell them to pray,
know nothing about that.
Then giving them tools to walk through life like day by day,
know nothing about that.
Teaching them morals, integrity, discipline. Listen man,
you don't know nothing about that.
Speaking the truth and consider what God's considering.
You don't know nothing about that.
Ain't 20v1, it's 1v20. If I gotta smack niggas that right with you, yeah, bring them out too, I clean them out too. Tell Bean that he better stay right with you. Am I battling ghosts or AI? Nigga feeling like Joel Osteen. Funny he was in a film called AI. And my sixth sense telling me to off him. I'ma blick niggas all in they coughing. Yeah, OVO niggas is dick riders. Tell them run to America to imitate heritage. They can't imitate this violence. What I learned is niggas don't like the West Coast. And I'm fine with it, I'll push the line with it. Pick a nigga off one at a time with it. We can be on a 3-hour time difference. Don't speak on the family, Crody. It can get deep in the family, Crody. Talk about me and my family, Crody. Someone go bleed in your family, Crody. I be at Newhall King eating fried rice with a dip sauce and a blimey, Crody. Tell me your cheese and farm. We can do this right now on the camera, Crody. Hey, fuck y'all niggas, I don't trust y'all niggas. I wave one finger and thump y'all niggas like, field goal punt y'all niggas, they punk y'all niggas. Nobody never took my food. Whoever that's fucking with them, fuck you niggas. And fuck the industry too. If you take it there, I'm taking it further.
Psst, that's something you don't wanna do.
Ooh. We don't wanna hear you say nigga no more. We don't wanna hear you say nigga no more.
Stop.
Welcome back to another episode of Front Runners. I want to go ahead and kick off today's episode by saying, first and foremost, the Lakers need to fire Darvin Ham. I don't care what we got to do. I don't care if we got to pay Brad $10 million. Just get him up out of there. I haven't seen this bad of coaching probably since like Steve Kerr when they blew the 3-1 lead, if I'm keeping it a buck. It's just that bad. Like, when you watched it, P, because I'm kind of biased on the low. Like, I think we haven't been a good team probably since we won the championship. So when you watched it, what were your thoughts?
So I watched the game from start to finish. Honestly, I thought we had a good chance to win. We was playing good. We was withstanding their runs, withstanding the Jamal Murray flurry. When he came out hot, withstanding that. I knew Denver was going to come out and with their crowd and stuff like that. I feel like when AD had that stinger in his shoulder, that just kind of just messed the momentum up for us, honestly. And he really wasn't a factor the rest of the game. He only finished with 17 points. Couldn't really move his arm, couldn't really block. I mean, he got a block on Jamal Murray towards the end, but he just wasn't really effective how he was in the first half. And after that, it was just really just the LeBron show. And, you know, when it's clutch time, and Jamal Murray and Jokic run their pick and roll is nearly unstoppable. Like, you literally have to pick and choose. Honestly, I mean, I'm upset because obviously I want my team to win, but I'm also curious to see where we go from here because, as everybody should know, or everybody that's basketball fan should know, that LeBron James is a free agent this year, and he has the opportunity to either sign an extension with us or go elsewhere. Pretty sure he's going to opt out his deal, try to get a new deal, restructured, or go somewhere else. I've actually heard reports that the Lakers are considering bringing Bronny in. I don't know whether that'll be the first round pick or the second round pick, because I think we have two or three picks in this upcoming NBA draft. But I just seen something on Instagram. Darvin Ham said it's been a hell of a 2 years. Now, I don't know what context you want to take that as in, but as a Laker fan and as I know how the Lakers navigate, they're not going to stay down for too long, and they're not going to keep the same core. And if that has to do with coaching, then it has to do with coaching. But honestly, I really don't know what coach out there can do better than what Darvin Ham tried to do. Like, I really don't. Like, I'm really sitting up here thinking right now, the only coach that comes in mind is Coach Budenholzer that used to coach the Bucks. That's yeah. the only coach, but he's more of a defensive oriented coach, which may be able to help. But when he was in Milwaukee, he ran a lot of drop coverage. So I'm not really sure. But obviously, Brooke Lopez and Anthony Davis are two different players. And Giannis and LeBron are two different players as well. But that's really the only coach I see out there that maybe we would potentially bring in. But, I mean, Darvin Ham has only lost to the Nuggets. Like, I know I spoke about him last episode. But, I mean, it's just the Nuggets, man. They're the best starting five in the NBA. I mean, even with their depth being so depleted. They know how to win in close games, and we just don't. Well, I'm not going to say we don't, because we were one of the best fourth quarter teams in the NBA this year, and LeBron was one of the best clutch players in the NBA this year. But it's just they play way more minutes together than our starting five has. I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, could Darvin Ham make some adjustments? Yeah, I feel like he could have tried to fit Vanderbilt in some time just to give Jamal Murray a different look. I mean, Jamal Murray was getting heavy dosages of Austin Reeves the whole entire game. I didn't see anybody else check Jamal Murray. So right. Vanderbilt could have played in stints. I know it would have been his first game back, but he could have played in stints. Darvin Ham could have did that. And down the stretch, it really wasn't much more he could have done, honestly, with AD being limited, barely having any feeling. Apparently, it was from his neck all the way to his hand. So, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what he could have done differently. Hopefully, the Lakers retool, regroup, come back in next season. Hopefully, LeBron re-signs with us. And hopefully, we can go get a star. But that's my take on it. Obviously, I'm upset, but it's all good.
Yeah, it's like Brian said, it's just basketball. And if he could say that as a, you know, a player on the team that lost, as a fan, you kind of have to take a step back and look at it from that perspective too. But I'm a keep it a buck. I'm not a huge fan of keeping Brian, and here's why. You remember, just like I do, the tumultuous situation that it was when we kept Kobe past his prime. Granted, he had injuries before and after we re-signed him, when people were questioning why we re-signed him. But looking back, even just outside of the Lakers, when you re-sign a guy as old as Kobe was, or as old as LeBron is, who's even older than Kobe was at that point, it never goes well. And I feel like LeBron is taking advantage of the Lakers, and I hate seeing it, because even like last night with the press conference, you get the question of, are you going to re-sign with the Lakers? This is my issue with LeBron. He's always been like this. It's not a hard fucking question to answer. Instead, you play the media card, the mogul card, not even like a superstar NBA player card. You played a mogul, media mogul card, and you're like, I'm not going to answer that. Thank you. It's like, bro, it's not hard to be like, I need to take time to think it over, or like, you don't even got to give a yes or no. Just, you feel me? Taper it towards it actually being professional. I feel like that answer wasn't entirely professional given the context of what the situation is. So it's like, I'm good on Bron, especially with him being 40. I don't give a fuck if he's top five in the league still in people's minds. I mean, yes, he is, but there's just too much that got to come with that. Like, he's too old, or he's getting too old. You got to draft his son to even potentially keep him, which I don't want him. He does not provide anything to us except youth, which we aren't that type of team where we develop players. We never have been that. It's not a beneficial situation, in my opinion. So I think, and you call me crazy, just like y'all did when I said, okay, so you're going to make it to the Western Conference Finals. Shout out them, you know, sweeping the Pels. We're going to get to that. I think Bron need to go back to Miami because they are the only organization that I can look at and point to and say they develop youth like nobody else in the league. And it's a combination of their scouting, a combination of their training staff, and just like the Miami way or whatever they call it, where you have a certain like fitness level that you need to be at to play for Miami. And then it's also Eric Spoelstra. We know that he's probably, if not the best coach in the league, hands down. Why wouldn't you, as your like as LeBron, want your son to be put in the best situation? Because I don't think the Lakers would be the best situation for Bronny. Like, where is he going? He's staying in the bubble, which he has been brought up in. He went to school in Cali, high school and college. He knows LA like the back of his hand. Get Bro out of there. Put him in a new environment where he can become his own man. And it's not just about his dad. He'll have a better shot of actually becoming something after his dad retires. Like, I don't see none of that happening with the Lakers personally. So, like, what would you think would be the best situation?
Honestly, I don't know what team out there has the necessary cap to get Bron. I don't think Miami has the necessary cap to get Bron. I know that's a destination that you may see that fits him. And maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. Maybe that card is over with. But the only reason why I'm saying he should come back because it's what the Lakers do. We keep stars longer than what we should or shouldn't do. Like, we can go back all the way back to Kareem when he was out his prime and we kept him all the way until 40, 41 years old. You know what I'm saying? So it's just what the Lakers do for some odd reason. Like, we're always in the starlight. We're always in the spotlight. Like, in the NBA and any sports, we're always known as a well-known franchise. So we have to have a well-known star. It's just, it wouldn't be the Lakers without the Lakers. And for your and to answer your point about Bronny, yeah, I honestly think Bronny would be beneficial to Miami because of the development of players that obviously they have and that comes through that organization. Like, for example, Jaime Jaquez, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, all them developed or still developing. So I mean, Bronny would benefit going to Miami, but at the same time, I feel like if Phil Handy is there, Bronny can develop. I feel like as long as we have him, he could develop because look at Austin Reeves. He's took some jumps. It may not be the jumps that people have wanted him to take, but he could maybe not with the Lakers, but with a different team, make an all-star. And I feel like that's his ceiling. But with the Lakers, he doesn't have to do that because he has AD. He has LeBron. He just needs to play his role. And he has been playing his role. I'm not even mad at Austin Reeves. Obviously, he could have played better against the Nuggets. But at the same time, he has developed from when he first came into the league to now. I think this is his third year in the league now. I don't know what people are expecting out of him. So as long as we have Phil Handy and as long as he is there to develop Bronny, I feel like Bronny could be beneficial to us. Not to say that Bronny needs to be a first-round draft pick because I'm not saying that. Because he hasn't played a lot. He hasn't, you know what I'm saying, obviously with his health issues and stuff like that. But Bronny could benefit coming to the Lakers specifically because of Phil Handy and what he's done with certain players. I feel like Bron's best opportunity to win, and it's not even on the bias stuff for me and as a Laker fan, but if he wants to win, I feel like it's either going to be him staying with us or somehow, some way. I hate saying this, but if the Warriors somehow get LeBron,
oh god,
that's the only two options that I see fit for Bron. Not Cleveland, not Miami, not anybody else, because I don't honestly don't think LeBron wants to leave California. LeBron is at the tail end of his career. He, as you said, he talked about it on after the game yesterday. He said, "I'm just focused on my family. I've missed a lot of family time. They've sacrificed for me and stuff like that, and I just want to spend time with the family." And where is his family at? In California, in Los Angeles. Where is his son at, playing basketball at Sierra Canyon? Where's Bronny at? Where was Bronny at at USC? So Bron is not in his – well, he's – it's crazy to say he's in his prime still, which is crazy. But he's not at the top of his prime like when he was at Miami and Cleveland. He's at the tail end of his career. He's already said time is starting to take its toll on his body and stuff like that. And he's at the tail end of his career, and I don't see him making a big move and shipping off his family and going to a different state or going across the coast. You know what I'm saying? So Lakers are the best situation for him. And if we're able to get another star in the offseason to combat, like, the young teams in the West, then I feel like that's going to be his best opportunity to win. But at the same time, you never know. It's Bron. And honestly, he's been playing that card with the media since he came into the league, since he's become a big name. When he left Cleveland and went to Miami, he's played that card. When he left Miami, went back to Cleveland, he's played that card. When he left Cleveland and went to L.A., he's played that card. He always does that. He's always subtle with his decisions after he loses. And obviously that has a lot to do with being mad that he lost and stuff like that. But, you know, that's just how Bron is, man. Hate to say it. I mean, every superstar is different. But I feel like he needs to stay in L.A., and Lakers will probably get Bronny if that's the case. What you think, Mace?
Well, I've seen a lot of – well, even from, like, All-Star games, I didn't see a lot of things where Bron said he wanted to play with Steph or whatever the case may be. I think that him being older, I mean, of course he's thinking about retirement. I mean, he has nothing else left to prove. He done got the scoring record. So, I mean, he's just really just taking a toll on his body if he keeps playing. If he goes to the Warriors, you know, as a Warriors fan, I'd be happy, of course. But I think he really needs to sit down and really consider, you know, with his family and think about retirement. Because, like I said, he's about to be 40. There's nothing else that you have to do. I mean, you done proved everything to everybody, all the naysayers. And, you know, you came out of L.A., you won them a championship. There's nothing – like, you won a championship everywhere you've been. So, nobody can really tarnish your name or tarnish your record. So, I mean, I really think that if he sits down and says, okay, he wants to come back, I don't think he'll be in L.A. next year. And I've been seeing a lot of things from Shams saying that Darvin Ham is highly unlikely to come back next year, which I said will happen because he just doesn't fit what L.A. needs. His play style is not conducive for LeBron. And Bron really runs that team in the shows. And you saw it a lot during this past series with the Nuggets. But I think that Bron will probably leave. Where he goes, I don't know. Probably the Warriors, probably home. I don't know where he's going to go. And like he said, he's got to think, sit down and think, because he's about to be 40. There's like, their athletes aren't playing till 40, unless if you're Brady or him, or, you know, an elite MLB pitcher, you know. So, you know, he's done did everything. He's done everything. I think that for me, I don't watch LeBron my whole life. I think it's time for him to retire, especially if he's going to keep running into the Nuggets, because it just doesn't work out for him. It doesn't work out for the Lakers. Even with AD going crazy, it doesn't work out for them playing the Nuggets. And the league is just getting better, more talent. You see Ant sending – people home. Like it's the league's just getting a lot better. Like, and the margin for error is going down exponentially. So you got to capitalize on everything you do. And I really don't think Bron has it in him to sit here and carry another team or play a big role in another team. I think he just wants to chill. And therefore, retirement will be the answer.
So with him retiring, where do you think Bronny goes at that point? Do you think he goes to the Lakers, or do you think he goes somewhere where he'll actually be able to develop and get to a better situation?
I think Bronny will – I don't think he'll go to the Lakers. I think a team like New York would suit Bronny good, New York Knicks, because Thibodeau, as much as people say he works the hell out his players, Tom Thibodeau has them boys where they need to be. If they come to Philly tonight and win, you know, they'll be winning a playoff series, which they haven't done in a long time. So I think that if he goes and plays with Tibbs, or even a Denver situation, like, you just need a great coach for Bronny. Because, I mean, he's not hard to coach. He has the intangibles, and plus he plays defense. He loves defense, and that's one thing that Tibbs loves and Michael Malone loves is defense. Like, you have to be out there. You can't just be an offensive-type player unless you're just this phenomenon, but you have to play defense. Like, and if you have the intangibles and if your IQ is there, then, you know, I would say the Knicks is a prime spot. The Heat, a prime spot. Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley, they would love Bronny. The Nuggets would be a great fit for him. Really just any coach that's got a defensive mind, to be honest. But I think in that market where Bronny and who he is, he would need to go to like a bigger market. So New York, Miami, that would be perfect. And plus he would fit there perfectly. All he would have to do is be 3-D. The athleticism's already there.
Nah, that's fair. I mean, like you said, don't put him in a situation where he's asked to do too much too early. And don't put him in a situation where he won't be able to develop. So put him in a situation where he's not like a sixth man coming off the bench already asked to, you know, score 10 to 15 points his first year. Definitely don't put him in a starting position. I don't think any league or team in the league would ask him to do that, except maybe Toronto for some reason. But other than that, I like the Knicks. I like the Heat. Nuggets are interesting. But yeah, as long as he has a coach that's known for developing players, especially from a defensive standpoint, because like you said, he plays defense. He loves playing defense, and he's actually pretty good at it. Then he'll succeed.
I feel like he don't need any more development on defense. And I feel like that's really a hard thing. You really can't really develop on the defensive end. Obviously, he has the intangibles. He's athletic. He's smart. He has the IQ. It really is just the offense of just sharpening your skills. I mean, he's gonna be like y'all said, 3-D number, 3-D type player. But if he can develop at a steady rate, he might be more than a 3-D player. That's just my opinion. I mean, I've seen Bronny play in high school. I mean, you can't really base it off college because he really didn't play like that. But in high school, I mean, he could go. And, you know, he has the drive. Obviously, he's not going to be no freak of nature like his dad. But he definitely can make an impact on some of these NBA teams. And eventually, I feel like he could be a very impactful starter. I'm not saying that he's going to go out there and average 20 points. Nobody's saying that. Not saying that he's going to make the All-Star team. Not saying that either. But I am saying that he can be an impactful starter. Shoot, maybe even a smaller version of – I don't want to say Drew Holiday, but, you know, he shoots better than Drew Holiday. But I feel like the same defensive tools that they have, they both have that. I mean, Bronny is a great on-ball defender. He's a good off-ball defender. He blocks shots. He steals the ball. He's in passing lanes. I mean, I don't want to go that far just yet. I just got to see what decision he makes, because he hasn't really made a decision whether he's going to go back to school or really just set in stone in the draft yet. So it really just depends. If he goes back another year in school, that'll be even better for him than actually going to the NBA, honestly, just so he can see. Because honestly, college teams play way better defense than the NBA. They have better scouts, all that stuff. And with the NBA, it's just so much space. So it's very hard to play defense nowadays. You got to be that dude to be playing defense. So it really just depends, man. It really just depends. I feel like Bronny could be more than the 3-and-D player, but we'll see.
No, I agree. I think early career, I can see a comp to like KCP, what he does for the Nuggets right now. But obviously, you want to get beyond that. So Drew Holiday, I feel like, is a good.
Yeah, that's a ceiling. That's a ceiling.
I can see that. I can see him developing into that.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping with the NBA, I saw a top five players in the playoffs, like currently for this playoff cycle, from someone me and Mason, follow per sources. And he's a Celtics fan, so keep that in mind when I read off this list. At one, he's got Nikola Jokic. At two, he's got Doncic. At three, he has Tatum. At four, he has Brunson. And at five, he has Anthony Edwards. Whoever wants to go first, please be my guest. I want to save my comments until later.
let me see. So Jokic being one, I could say yes, but for me, I would put in the playoffs. Yeah, I would have to say Ant or I guess, like, is his list for like people that's moving on or people that just got put out, or like what the case may be?
I'm thinking he's just saying for this current playoff.
I think he's just saying in general right now, just based off this first round series.
Okay, yeah. So no bias. Jokic, I'm gonna put Jokic in there. I'll put AD in there. I'm gonna put Anthony Edwards in there, of course. Jalen Brunson has to be in there. He's carrying the load. And Tatum's not in there. I don't care. Tatum's not. He hasn't had to do shit this playoffs.
Thank you.
So Luka, yes. Jokic, yes. AD, hell yeah. Anthony Edwards, hell yeah. Brunson. But that's the thing. Brunson hasn't had besides last game, he's been shooting terribly. So I'm not gonna put Brunson in there. I like those four. I'll have to come up with a fifth, but Tatum's not in there for me. Brunson's not in there for me. I'm not going to give Brunson that nod off of that last game, because AD been killing the whole series, and he got hurt yesterday. So he would have had another 30. He would have been averaging 30-plus. He might still be averaging 30-plus for this whole series, but he definitely would have got 30 points last night easily. So Nikola, yes. Luka, yes. Ant, hell yeah. AD, hell yeah. And the five, I don't really know. I mean, you could say Jamal Murray. I would have to say Jamal Murray after last night, especially. I'd say Jamal Murray to cap off that five.
I guess I could dig your list a little bit. I don't have Luka in my top five. Oh, just on the simple fact, yes, he's had a couple 30-point games, but these last two games have really – kind of opened my eyes. He's been struggling these last two games, and he obviously has a knee injury. That's probably the reason why. But I'll read you my top five that I made this morning. I have Ant Edwards number one, without a doubt. Swept the Suns with experience, averaging 31, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. He's a dog, man. Michael Jordan-esque, Kobe-esque. He's just a dog, man. The shit that he be doing to the Suns, to the league, hey, he coming. If not, he's already here. Obviously, I got Nikola Jokic at number two. There's no way in hell that he's not top two playoff performers so far in the playoffs. 28 points, 16 rebounds, 9.8 assists. Might as well round it up to 10 assists. You know, he's without Jokic, that team just doesn't do anything. Honestly, they don't do anything at all. They don't function. Michael Porter Jr. is not getting all his shots. KCP is not getting his shots. Aaron Gordon's not getting his lobs to the basket. Jamal Murray is not doing. He will do stuff, but it won't be as effective without Jokic. At three, I got Jalen Brunson. I understand you read. I mean, you said that he had two bad games to begin the playoffs, but he's carrying the load for that team, man. They 3-1 going back to the Garden tonight. They probably about to close the deal on Philly. 33 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, man. The way that he is willed his team to the second seed and willed his team to 3 dubs, one in Philly, stealing one in Philly just last game. Hey, I got to put Jay Brunson in there, man. For AD, of course, maybe a little biased, but hey. The numbers don't lie. 28 points a game, 16 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks. I mean, obviously, I know that the Lakers lost last night, obviously. And if he didn't get hurt, I honestly to God feel like we would have won that game last night and we would have been going back to LA. But you can't lie on the numbers. I mean, him and Jokic were going at it the whole series. And then no other big other than Joel Embiid will go at Jokic like that. No Giannis, no, definitely not no fucking Gobert. Nobody else is going at Jokic like that. And they already compare Jokic and AD stats to like Wilt and Bill Russell, the way they was going at it back in the day. Just on this playoff series alone. So I got AD at 4. And 5 is a toss-up to me. Just a simple fact is I put Shea there because Shea swept the Pelicans and he's an MVP candidate and he's averaging 27, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. I know he has others that's been, you know, producing well, but 27, 6, and 5, that's not a bad stat line, and he just swept the Pelicans. But I also put Joel Embiid in there just because a simple fact is the man is averaging 35 points, the most in the playoffs right now. 9 rebounds, 5 assists on a bum knee. A bum knee and a messed up face. So just imagine if he was healthy. Those numbers probably would be around 40 points, around 11 rebounds, around 7 assists, honestly. And I know the Knicks are physical, but for a man to go out there and average 35 points on probably the most physical team in the NBA right now, outside of Minnesota, that says a lot to me. I mean, I had other honorable mentions, obviously. Definitely not no Tatum. Shit, no. He ain't had to do nothing this series, like people said. But honestly, even if he did, I honestly don't think I would put him in there anyways. And the dude said, who else? Luka? Like I said, yeah. Luka's been struggling. I honestly would put Kyrie over Luka. Luka just hasn't looked the same. Like, his knees messed up. And, you know, Jamal Murray is a good one, too. I mean, he's closed us out twice. So, I mean, I would say Jamal, but I gotta look at the numbers, man. I'm a numbers guy. Joel Embiid, Shea, you can toss that up. And the only reason Joel Embiid is number 5 is because they're about to go home tonight. And just because – his team is just – I don't know. Like, his team is just – without Tyrese Maxey, them boys would got swept. Because Tyrese Maxey's another one. He's averaging 29 points, but I didn't even think to put him on there just because Joel Embiid is on one knee averaging 35. Like, y'all got to put that in perspective, what this man would do to these Knicks if he was fully healthy. And, that's always a what-if with Joel Embiid when it comes to the playoffs. But 35 points on a bum knee – that says a lot. And, of course, Shea Gilgeous at 5. I mean, the man is an MVP candidate, Mace. I know you don't fuck with him like that, but, hey, the man just swept the Pelicans. I mean, it's not easy to sweep a team. So,
My order is Ant, Jokic, Brunson, AD, and a toss-up between Joel Embiid and Shea.
I like that list a lot. I ain't gonna cap. Jokic at one for me. Two, definitely Ant-Man. Three, personally, I'm going Jokic, or excuse me, Shai or Shay. I always fuck up bro name. Just because, like you said, he swept the Pelicans, who no one had the Thunder winning in four. Probably some people even thought they would lose in like six or seven, especially if Zion was healthy, just because they're a young team. I really think Shai could win the MVP, should win the MVP. Bump could. He should. Just based off of back-to-back years of just consistent basketball, being the number one seed, leading his team to be the number one seed, a young team at that. It's just, what more can you ask from a dude? In a stacked Western Conference, it'd be different if he was in the East feasting off of fucking cannon fodder like Tatum is. But he's playing night in, night out at one of the hardest positions in the league against players who are, like, legitimate players at that position. Four for me, it gets tough, honestly. I'll get Jamal Murray just because, like you say, he packed us up twice. He's averaged 23-7-4. And a block. How the fuck did he average a block against us? Anyway, bruh balled out. Watching him, every time I looked up, he was making a basket, if it wasn't Jokic. So
literally.
Got to put Jamal in there. And five, Embiid. You can't put Brunson in this top five. I'm sorry. It's kind of like the same thing for me with Tatum, except volume. So, like, Tatum isn't – he's underperforming, and it's – I don't know what the – why. I haven't watched any of those games. I'm going to keep it a buck. But just from looking at the stats, I don't understand why he's not averaging 30 and why they haven't swept the Heat. But Brunson, it's like you're putting up 39 shots and you're getting 41.
He ain't got no choice though, man.
He don't, but at the same time, I'm not a volume scorer kind of guy. Like Kobe obviously was a volume shooter, but at some level you have to be efficient, and that nigga's just not efficient. He gets turnovers all the fucking time in the most inconvenient moments, and he also shoots a bunch of shots when he's not like a shot maker, quote unquote. Like, I don't think of him as being like a Curry, obviously, or even a Shai. Like, if I had to pick a guy to win me a basketball game or to be the face of my franchise, I would take Shai over him any day of the week. So, yeah, I put Embiid at the five just because bruh's killing the Knicks on one leg and with a it's not cerebral palsy, it's something palsy.
Yeah, like, paralysis in the face.
Yeah, so, like, the fact that you can do that, basically have one eye closed, playing on one leg, that's literally a circus trick. Name me another NBA player doing that, and I'll tell you, you're lying. Honorable mentions, Kyrie for sure. Definitely got to put never mind, I'll stop right there. I'm excited to see what the Thunder do the rest of the playoffs. But, yeah, Tatum being in that top five is just dick riding on a whole nother level. Like, I'm glad Mason didn't put Tatum in the top five, because it's just – how could you justify that? You know what I'm saying? You're playing the weakest team in the playoffs. You lost the game. You're not even averaging 25, 26, 27. You have been inconsistent. You have underperformed. I don't know if he's trying to save it for the second round, but it's like, nigga, it's the Eastern Conference. Who are you? That's another thing. I want to kind of like transition to that. Who are the Celtics going to play in the Eastern Conference at any point that are really going to give them trouble? The Knicks? That's about it. everyone else, they're built to beat. It just it baffles me. I don't get why Brad's playing the way that he's playing.
Well, I mean, he like I said, he hasn't had to do anything. Like,
but still, Mason.
No, I'm saying like yeah, okay. So like, I watched the game yesterday, bro. Them boys were up like 25 at half. What else do you need him to do? Like he had 11, 12 rebounds, 5, 6 assists. Like that's against the Heat, that's what he's out there to do. Especially with no Jimmy, he doesn't need to have the ball in his hands because you got Derek White scoring 40 points and he had a favorable matchup the whole game. Like Derek White was calling for the ball. I literally watched it with my own eyes. He had Duncan Robinson on him and he's literally yelling, "Give me the ball." And he's hitting contested trays, come down, hit another contested tray. Like Tatum hasn't had to do anything. Brown didn't have to do anything either. KP went out with a foot injury. And Al Horford came in and stepped in. You know, Al Horford's gonna clean up, man, rebound, cool. Besides that, bro, he hasn't had to do much this whole series. Like, besides that game they lost when the Heat hit like 22 or 23 threes. If the Heat not making threes, bro, this is a blowout. Like, and they've blown them out twice already, three times, if I'm not mistaken. So they've blown them out twice, back to back games. They've blown them out. And he hasn't had to do anything. Like, Jrue Holiday hasn't had to do anything. Jaylen Brown, this has been Jaylen Brown's time to get ready for the next round and the next round after that. Because I know what Tatum's going to give me when it's time to play somebody, like, better. But Jaylen Brown's got to get in that mojo where you can't be turning the ball over, something we always touch on, and you have to be efficient. Like, you know, so we've been seeing more of Jaylen Brown this series. Which is good to keep him warm and keep him ready for the next series or whoever they play. Like you said, the Knicks or whoever.
They're going to play the Magic or the Cavs.
Yeah, Magic or the Cavs. Yeah, so they're going to take care of them. And I think that the Magic are probably going to come out. I guess we'll talk about that later. But I think the Magic are going to come out of that series depending on how the game plan is for tonight. But it's going to be a cakewalk either way, in my opinion. And you know what I'm saying? Like Mazzulla actually coached yesterday in the game before that, which is surprising. He actually has his guys ready to play, something that I've been waiting to see, for a long time. But you know, I'm definitely not putting Tatum in the top five. Cause like I said, he hasn't done nothing. He's been out there doing a rebounding assist. That's what he's been doing.
And what people probably don't even realize is Eric Spoelstra put Bam Adebayo on Tatum, one of the best defenders in the league. So for him to put Tatum in top five is crazy. Bam Adebayo is probably, if not the best defender in the league. He guards 1 through 5. He gives Tatum problems with his physicality and his lateral quickness. And, you know, Tatum's not doing bad. You know, as you said, Derek White dropped 40 yesterday. I mean, Derek White is getting the fourth and fifth worst defender on the team. So, I mean, Tatum don't really have to do anything this series. I will touch on this. We're probably going to talk about it later. If the Celtics play the Magic, that to me will be an interesting series because of the defensive prowess that the Magic give teams. I know the Magic hasn't won a game in Cleveland, but when they go home, it's like a whole nother level comes to them. It's like their defense goes up. And if they come out and beat Cleveland, I feel like they can push the Celtics to 6 games. I'm not saying that the Magic will beat the Celtics because I don't think that's going to happen with or without KP, depending on how his calf is going into tomorrow, and if Miami wins the next game after that, which I doubt it's going to happen. But yeah, I mean, Tatum hasn't really had to do anything. You know, people have stepped up. The Celtics have stepped up. I am still worried about their late game execution because this is the second time where they've had a 30-point lead and it's dwindled down to like 15, 14 points. And, you know,
it takes something miracle to happen. Like, for instance, yesterday, they called the most bogus call I've ever seen in my life. They gave Bam Adebayo a flagrant one because Tatum shot the ball after the whistle, and Bam Adebayo didn't want him to make a shot or get any type of rhythm. And Tatum ended up stepping on Bam's ankle and twisted his ankle. By that time, the Miami Heat were only down by 10 points with like 3-4 minutes left in the game on a run. And that killed all of their momentum, and the Celtics went and handled business. I'm still worried about their late game execution. And when they get to the Knicks, I'm assuming the Knicks are going to handle whoever they play next round. I think they're going to play between Milwaukee and Indiana. If they continue to do that, the Knicks have proven to us that their late game execution are better than the Celtics with Jalen Brunson at the helm. So they better get their shit together, because all this late game crashing out stuff that they do, and like I said, with the ISO ball and shit, with the ball not moving and stuff, yeah, Derek White had it going last night. But is he going to have it going like that for the rest of the playoffs? No. He just had a great game yesterday, and they kept feeding him. You feel me? They can't depend on that, though. Like, they better get their shit together with this late-game execution stuff, or a team like the Knicks could beat them without Julius Randle. I'm just going to put it out there right now.
Nah, I agree. And it's crazy that this is probably the Celtics' best season in however many years, and we're talking about the Knicks without their arguably their best player, but second best player, with Brunson being Brunson, not even playing. Like, you have two of the top 15 players on one team, one of the best on-ball defenders, one of the best role players, another great 7-foot three-point and defensive-minded, or at least can block shots type player. And KP, I mean, he's injured now, but you still got Al Horford. Like, your bench is good. Only missing link for the Celtics is their coach, in my opinion. And he's going to eat shit if they lose to the Knicks, or even if they get to 7 games and against, like, the Magic.
And their leader. I feel like Marcus Smart not being there is a big, big piece, too, that nobody really talks about. But
that's true. That's true. He's kind of like the Draymond for that team, because they don't have – like, if your leader is Al Horford, no offense to Al Horford, but when has he ever led a successful team?
Never.
Never. The one time he had a good team, he got bounced by the Cavs, and that was the best team the Hawks ever had. So it's like, I don't want to hear about Al Horford being your leader. You lost your leader, and it kind of shows in certain moments, especially closing games. They lose their gumption, and it's like, man, y'all boys can't play like this against somebody who know how to play basketball. Y'all got people that can play basketball. Y'all got to step up at some point. But talk about the closing games for the first round. I like the Knicks to whoop the Sixers ass at home. I like the Cavs to win at home against the Magic, but that series is going 7. If the Bucks don't have Dame tonight, which I don't think they will, then I like the Pacers, which is crazy because I literally was just shit talking the Pacers, and all of a sudden they turn on into a whole different mode. It's crazy. But and then, of course, the Celtics to close out the Heat. And then that Clippers-Mavericks series, tomorrow's important. Whoever wins that game, I think, wins the series. And I like the Clippers, honestly. I just, like you mentioned, P, Luka's not 100%, and it's showing. And when Kyrie has to be, like, the main guy on the team, I don't think that team – can get past a more well-rounded team. I mean, we saw it in the past. So I like the Clippers to get out the first round. What about y'all?
Tonight I like let me see. Who do I like? I like the Knicks, of course. They're going to be in a garden. That crowd is going to be crazy. The Sixers are going to – it's going to be a close game. I think every game in this series has been a close game. But I got the Knicks because of their crowd and because of Jalen Brunson finding his rhythm and his mojo. They think – I don't know why Nick Nurse thinks that. At first, yes, games one and two, Link was kind of bothering Jalen Brunson with Kelly Oubre guarding him. I think Kelly Oubre is about 6'7", 6'8". But I think Jalen Brunson has found his touch, has found his rhythm, and I think – I honestly don't know who else – Nick Nurse and his staff could go to. I mean, I would say he could try to put. Yeah, I don't know. I know D'Anthony Melton played a little bit last game, but he ain't been right with his back. That would be a good matchup because D'Anthony Melton is a great defender and a good 3-and-D guard, but he just hasn't been healthy. So I guess the Sixers have no choice but to stick with Kelly Oubre. I got the Knicks winning tonight. I got Jalen Brunson dropping a 30-piece tonight. I got Dante DiVincenzo bouncing back from that poor first-half performance he had last game. The Cavs and the Heat – I mean, Cavs and the Magic. All home games have – I mean, all these teams have won their home games. Everybody's protected their home court. So, I guess I'll roll with the Cavs. But I honestly think that – since the Cavs have home court, I feel like they will win this series because just only the solely fact that they have home court. If the Magic had home court, I would be going with them, but nothing has tilted my head to see if the Magic are going to win. Yes, they handle business at home in great fashion, but can that travel? I don't know if all that energy and effort can travel. Paolo will need to have a brilliant game for them to win. Franz Wagner has been playing pretty decent basketball. He will need to step up as well. And one of their bigs will have to step up, whether that's Mo Wagner off the bench or Wendell Carter, who had a solid game at home last time. But yeah, I got the Cavs winning tonight. I got Donovan Mitchell probably dropping around between 23 and 25 points. Hopefully Darius Garland can step up. Jared Allen has been consistent, almost dropping a double-double in every single game this series, so I expect him to continue that. And for tomorrow, I expect the Celtics to close the Heat out in Boston. It should be no problems. It shouldn't be no problems. Hopefully JT, Jaylen Brown, they close the deal out. And with the Clippers and the Mavs, yeah, I got the Clips because Kyrie fully healthy. This is the healthiest Kyrie has been in a long time, and we all know how Kyrie gets. But with Luka not being healthy, with Tim Hardaway, an extra scorer off the bench, not being healthy as well, he hasn't played since game one, if I'm not mistaken. I got the Clippers winning that game, and like you said, Mont, if they win this game, I think they win the series. They have home court too, but, I mean, both teams have split, so I don't think that really matters in this series, but if Paul George comes out with that same aggression and James Harden continues to play consistent basketball, yeah, they'll win for sure. But we'll see, though, man. You never know. Luka could come out feeling good, drop 40, and then the Clips lose, and they go back to Dallas and in that crowd and stuff like that with Dallas role players hitting all their shots. So we'll see. I mean, Clippers know how to sell some shit, bro. They know how to sell, bro. I ain't gonna cap. They do it all every year, bro. So, I mean, that's my takes. Yeah, I don't see anything happening between the Clippers and the Mavericks. What you think, Mace?
I got for the day. I got Sixers in the upset today.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, I got them in. I got them in the upset today. Tyrese probably gonna have a great game tonight. I know Embiid gonna do his thing on one leg, but I got Sixers in the upset. I got Magic winning tonight. Only way Magic winning tonight is if Franz Wagner actually has a good game on the road and doesn't play like a role player on the road. But I feel like it's gonna be a really close game, like down to the wire. And I feel like the Mavs get stops and get. I mean, Magic get stops and get turnovers and. It like because Cleveland can turn the ball over and nobody's not prone to turn the ball over. So I'll take the Magic tonight as well. And I'm taking, what's the last game?
Pacers, Bucks.
Pacers, give me Bucks at home. Give me the Bucks tonight. Chris Middleton's fully healthy, and Bobby Portis doesn't get ejected. Give me the Bucks tonight. I feel like Chris Middleton gonna carry them to a win. Him and Bobby Portis, and if Brook Lopez has a good game, then they should be pretty solid. Plus, they're at home, and it's do or die. So when it's do or die and you're at home, you have no choice but to win. And I think that somebody's going to have a crazy game, and role players probably going to be shooting the lights out. So I'll take the Bucks. I'll take all the underdogs today. And for tomorrow, give me the Mavs, of course. Luka's going to have a big game tomorrow. And Celtics, of course. I'm sure they're probably tired of traveling back to Miami. So give me Celtics in a closeout game. Joe Mazzulla, if you don't get the job done tomorrow, I don't know what to tell you. But give me the Celtics in the closeout. I hope they close out the game tomorrow, close out the series, because, like, it's just bad watching basketball. There's no Jimmy there, no Rozier. So just close them out tomorrow, and then y'all get y'all rest for the rest of the playoffs.
Duncan Robinson, game winner.
He ain't been doing nothing all series. It's just bad. Yeah. The whole Heat organization is bad right now.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. Well, we'll see how it goes. I like them picks, honestly. I know, Mason, you wanted to touch on Marvin Harrison and, you know, his NFLPA licensing deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I find it kind of interesting, and I'm glad that his dad is playing, supposedly playing a big part in his NFL career already and his success. So if Marvin Harrison Jr. is not in Madden, that would mean that he wouldn't have to break down or break him off anything, like break off the NFL, PA, anything. And he will be getting all his money from whoever he signs with, New Balance. I guess he's with New Balance right now. So he wouldn't have to share any money with them. But, I mean, he wouldn't be in the game. I know a lot of kids are going to want to play with Marvin Harrison Jr. who wouldn't. But, you know, it was the same thing for Charles Barkley. He had his own game. My dad told me that when I was younger. I was trying to figure out why Charles Barkley wasn't in the NBA, because he had his own game. Therefore, you know, you make your own money on however you do. Another thing that was brung up with that video, just in general, is Caleb Williams. So I think, like, those two players are basically trying to set themselves up for something good in the long run, and not being taxed and not being charged and not having to pay things that they don't want to pay. You know, if Marvin Harrison doesn't sign his PA contract, then he won't be in Madden. It's not really a big deal for him, because he'll be on NCAA. He could just play with himself on that game, and he won't, you know, be able to play with himself on Madden. But, you know, I think that a lot of players, if they start looking into bettering themselves and finding ways to where they won't be paying an organization that's already taxing you, then a lot of people won't go broke after the NFL, broke after their careers, because the average career for an NFL player is 3 to 4 years. You know, that could be from injury. That could be from guys just not mentally not being there. And, you know, they may just want to retire, or they're forced to retire. So I think this new era of kids, if they are trying to better themselves, I think you should really start looking into the contracts that you sign, the deals that you want to put together, the endorsements, because, you know, you can live off of endorsements and sponsorship money and not have to touch your NFL money. You can do that, but a lot of players get into the fancy life of, you know, I want to drive an AMG 63 my first year. You know, I mean, I get it. You know, you coming from the hood, or maybe not coming from the hood. You feel me? Maybe you don't come from the hood. You know, you had a good life your whole life, but you want an AMG 63 or you want a Aventador, you know, whatever the case may be. So I feel like if guys are really, you know, serious about their life after football and making sure that their family and generations are set up, I think what Marvin Harrison is doing is pretty solid. And if he doesn't want to be in Madden, oh well. But I feel like that he's making a smart decision if he doesn't sign his NFLPA. If he does, then that's up to him.
Yeah, like I was reading up on that because it just had popped up on Instagram for me. Man, people just taking it the wrong way. Like like you said, man, he just want to better himself, better his life, better his maybe whatever he want to do, future kids, whatever he want to do later down the line. Like people are looking at this man like he a prima donna or something. Like they comparing it because he didn't work out for his pro day or his combine. He didn't want to talk to reporters. He didn't want to do none of that. Like this man is trying. This man is a top five draft pick. He ain't got to do all that all the time. Like, I feel like he's always stayed to himself and been independent. You know what I'm saying? I feel like the media just be making him and making other players that really just want to do things on their own bad because, like, they just don't want to be a part of certain stuff. Like, it's just that simple, man. Like, at the end of the day, if you want to make money outside of certain organizations, then you should have every right to do that without the media critiquing your every move. Like, and that goes with any athlete, like not just Marvin Harrison, because like you said, Charles Barkley did the same thing. Like, you know, just cause he ain't in Madden, it don't mean it's the end of the world. Yeah. Kids, they want to play with him and stuff like that. Shoot. You better tell these kids to turn the game on and watch live TV. That's all I can tell you. You feel me? So it's just like, bro, the media got to stop making stuff more than what it got to be. That's just where I'm at. Marvin Harrison Jr. is making a decision for him at the end of the day because football is not always going to be there for him. Like, football is going to be there for him for if he's blessed to have at least 10 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't going to always be there. Like, any other sport, you can play longer. Football is physical. It's hard. It's stuff like that. Like, I feel like a lot of these football players are looking outside of the game to make more money for their family and for themselves. So what Marvin Harrison Jr. is doing, I have no problem with it at all. Like he's making a stand for himself and for his family. So that's where I'm at with it.
I 1000% agree. Like the fact that the media is trying to twist this into something that, oh, Marvin Harrison is selfish or Marvin Harrison isn't, like, no, y'all, a lot of these people that are making these comments are coming from silver spoons. They don't understand the fact that Marvin, like, let's take his father out of this. What he's accomplished is something that very, very few people are able to do. So he has the foresight to understand just because I made it here doesn't mean that I have to, like, involve everything into the NFL. I have business ventures outside of the NFL. Why do I just have to stick to that one part? And the quicker that people understand that, the quicker they'll understand that this is something that's going to improve future players coming into the NFL and just improve the business model of the NFL in general. And I feel like a lot of the people complaining is coming from owners in the NFL or people at EA who, you know, of course, own Madden and make the Madden game. They're just not directly speaking about it, but they're speaking through the media about it because they want to be greedy. They want to make as much money as possible. And the people that are disrupting that space where they're supposed to be making the money and not the other way around, where the player, the property in their eyes, are supposed to be making the money, then of course they're going to try to paint them as being selfish and all these other things. But we know better. It's him doing this, Caleb doing what he's doing. It's only going to make the overall business model that much better for the players, as it should have been from the beginning. But of course we know that that's never the case when it comes to
these billionaires trying to keep their wealth and make more wealth. So I'm just excited for him to, you know, continue to grow as a player and then just grow his business, because we already know what bro gonna be. Easily gonna be a Hall of Famer, in my opinion.
Once you get that pill, man. Once you get that pill from Kyler for right now.
That's true. That's true. If he ain't got a quarterback, then it's gonna be that much harder. But as long as he get the ball from Kyler, sky's the limit.
Yep. I mean, man. he's just encouraging other players to do more for themselves. I feel like. I mean, obviously, as a rookie, people are gonna look at that and just be like, "Oh, he's doing this on his own. Like, maybe I should take a different approach to different things." So, I mean, I feel like what he's doing is just setting the new generation up in a good spot.
Yeah, I just feel like he's looking out for himself, and ain't nothing wrong with that. Usually, you know, I watch Shannon Sharp say, you know, the owners, they always want to discount on something. The owners of the teams who they, you know, who they're over, who they oversee. They always want to discount on something. Well, you know, you got guys that are coming in the league now who have the knowledge and they're getting the wisdom from these older cats. You know, don't take no cuts. Somebody going to pay you. It may not be the people who you want to play for, but somebody going to pay you, you know, because the owners, they always ask for discounts for players. That's why people leave and go to new teams and get bigger deals, because the previous team wasn't trying to pay them. You know, so you as a player who's sitting there actually taking the sacrifice, taking the hits on their body, you need to make sure you are doing what's best for you and make sure you are getting paid. That is that's all that matters at the end of the day, because you could have and it hurts for me to say it, but you could be like Ryan Shazier. He's one of my favorite players coming out of Ohio State. What happened to him was terrible, and he was going to be one of the best middle linebackers in Pittsburgh Steelers history, in my opinion, because he played the game the right way. He was smart, and he just had that moxie to him. But, you know, injuries happen, and, you know, but you have to set something up for yourself outside of the game, and that's something that he's doing, and I applaud him for that, and I hope that he keeps taking the knowledge from his dad, because his dad played alongside Peyton Manning. I'm sure him and his dad have had plenty of talks about money and about situations and wealth. So, you know, I'm happy that Marvin Harrison is doing this for himself. It's right, and it's making him a better person and a better player at the end of the day.
Yeah. If you can improve the overall environment better than what you found it, you'll always be an A-plus guy. Like, that's just the simpleness of it. And I'm glad you brought up the injuries, because we saw what happened to him against Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
That can easily happen in an NFL situation, and mm-hmm. it could be worse. The fact that he was able to come back and play the next year, grace of God, bro. Because that, even being a Georgia fan, you know that hit was vicious.
Yeah,
head-to-head contact, that could have been the end of bro's career. So I'm sure after that, he just was like, why the hell would I just focus on this one thing when I could diversify my portfolio? That's yep. all this is. I bet you, and this is the thing, and I'm trying not to make it about this, but I know it is this. If we heard this from somebody like J.J. McCarthy, it would not even be the same conversation.
Nice.
Okay. Not even close. And that's what pisses me off.
It's because he's black, bro. I was supposed to say what it is, bro. It's because he's black. That's what it is, bro.
Exactly. 1,000% agree. And it's sad that we still had this this notion in the NFL, and really just professional sports in general, where the white players are given a certain look that black players never get, or black players are always deemed selfish when they make business decisions for not just themselves but their family, or to improve, like, the business model. But a white player could do the same thing, and it's just like, wow, he's cerebral. He's
he's a business mogul. And it's like the only guy that looks or is black that you never hear any bad things about him when it comes to business decisions and things of that nature is Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I know why, but at the same time, it's crazy. It's just wild to me. It's wild.
Oh yeah, bro. You know, society is gonna do what they do and try to paint the black guy as him better instead of trying to paint it as something bad. But you know, if a white person does it, no, who cares? And that's just reality of the situation. But we've come to a point of where you got to do what's best for yourself, whether white or black, Latino, it doesn't really matter. You got to do what's best for yourself, and people ain't going to like it. People ain't going to like you for decisions that you're trying to make to better yourself, which is the craziest thing. And that only really happens in America. And I just really think that if people just mind their business and cared about them and actually worried about what's going on in their lives, then we wouldn't have these type of problems. Like, if people actually saw somebody trying to better themselves, why are you saying anything? You know, but that's just the media, and that's just people being nosy and people just wanting to be in the limelight when they can just be chilling, you know, minding their own business. But that's just society today as a whole.
Yeah. What is Brett talking about? Is Darvin Ham okay?
I'm sorry. I had to send that to y'all boys, bro. No way in hell this nigga just said that after L. It's no, yeah, he's out of there. No, like,
he died.
I'm gonna just read to the viewers what was said.
Yeah, please.
I'm gonna read the second part of it. So this was said from Darvin Ham, Dave McManaman, the Lakers reporter. Asked him a question about coaching and what was it like. Obviously, he said it was hell. These last 2 years have been hell and stuff like that, but he's enjoyed it. But I'm going to just read a little snippet of what was said. It's amazing how people just skip that core part of having a consistency with your lineup. It's all predicated on health and performance. If you're coaching a team and one of your starters is like 10 games in a row just shit in the bed, what are you going to do?
Now, I want him to – oh, my God. Makes the lineup decisions, right?
He has to say so at the end of the day.
What did this nigga do for them 10 games straight? He started niggas like Cam Reddish and Torian Prince who were shitting the bed over – people like AR and Rui. And then you throw people under the bus like Rui, who plays bad because you don't play him consistently enough because you want to play niggas like Cam and Torian Prince.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, take accountability for your actions. You make the lineups. You make the decisions. Mm-hmm. You're the head coach. You shit the bed. You don't call timeouts when we get on a 20-0 run put up against us. Then you look all dumbfounded. Man, nah. Get Bri out of there. I'm done.
Nah, bro, man. I can't believe he just said that like after the game, bro. That's insane.
Literally.
Like, you don't say that, bro. Like, I don't care how blowed you are. You don't say that, bro. That's insane.
Steve Kerr-esque.
Yeah, bro. I'm telling you, bro. I told y'all he was gone, bro. I told y'all that a couple episodes ago that he's gone. And when you come out and publicly say, he said this numerous times, what do you want me to do? There's no way to stop him. As a head coach, you say that after the series is over when you got your ass whooped. And you be like, okay, this guy just played phenomenal. Like, give him a pat on his back. This guy played phenomenal. It was tough to stop him. And we saw that by the outcome. You say stuff like that. You don't sit up here and say, oh, it's been extremely difficult. I don't know what to do. The rotations. You're the head coach. Like I said, you're getting paid millions of dollars. This is why you're here. Do you think Eric Spoelstra would say something like this? Michael Malone damn sure wouldn't say nothing like this. Like, what are you doing? This is not a championship head coach. And I've been saying it since he's got there. LeBron has been running this thing this whole time. You even saw yesterday when he's when y'all are up still, but they were going on a run. It was like 69-65, and he's telling D'Angelo Russell, go to the sideline. We're about to call a timeout, and Darvin Ham's not doing anything. Like, he's not calling the timeout. The ref's standing right in front of him, but he's not calling the timeout.
Yeah, like, even Jamal Crawford and Reggie Miller is telling Darvin Ham, you should take a timeout.
Literally.
No, like, literally. Multiple times.
Yep. I just don't understand it. I don't understand him. I don't know why. I don't understand why he thinks, like, his coaching style has been effective. It doesn't work. I said it last year when he was the head coach. It doesn't work. You just sitting there and standing there, that's not coaching. You actually have to say something. You have to do something. I saw a picture on Twitter. He got his damn board in his hand and there's nothing on it.
Yep.
Like,
seeing that shit too.
Like for Lakers fan, this has to be demoralizing, as people say. How do you expect your franchise to be behind you if I see your clipboard and it has nothing on it? Like, you're just grabbing it just for show. And can't make it up, bro. He's out of there, though. I said already, but he's out of there.
Yep, I'll give it about a week.
He's gone.
48 hours. Fucking special. Get this nigga out of there, please.
Yeah, man. Overnight shipping. Get that nigga up out of there, bro.
Gosh. Oh. Yeah,
it's just disheartening for Lakers fans, bro, because you got the reigning champs on the damn ropes, and you just doing
literally nothing.
every game,
bro.
We could have swept them.
Literally. And I was talking to somebody in my Instagram group chat, and I'm sitting here like, bro, like he's saying that the Nuggets are gonna lose to the Timberwolves. That we'll talk about that next week. But I'm just like, bro, you're a Lakers fan, or you're a Bron fan, Bron sexual, whatever you want to call yourself, because you're not even talking about the Lakers at this point. You're just talking about LeBron. He brought up points of where Jamal Murray shot 45 for 120 throughout the whole series. I said, bro, and y'all lost. I said, can you imagine if Jamal Murray shot efficient the whole series, what would have happened? The Lakers led, and I also bring this up, the Lakers led time of possession at, like, everything. Like, they led when they had the lead, bro. The Lakers led by a big margin, and they still lost. And I'm sitting here trying to explain to him. I said, bro, you're making excuses. Jamal Murray shot 20% in the first half of game two. What happened? He shot, like, 75% in the second half. That's what happened. What happened yesterday? 32 points on a banged up leg, and you're sitting up here telling me that Jamal Murray's not the reason why y'all home. I said, bro, he is the reason why y'all are home. He hit two game winners and showed up in the second half. Like, it is nothing else to be said. But, you know, people gonna be people. They don't listen. But, you know, that's a story for another day.
I mean, it's coaching. We just don't have the personnel either. Like, Austin Reeves was the only nigga that was guarding him the whole series. Yep. The whole series, like, no adjustments. Like, I understand Austin Reeves, he's a solid defender. I'm not even going to say good. He's a solid defender.
Mm-hmm.
But that's Jamal Murray. He should be an all-star. I mean, I'm calling him an all-star. The only reason he hasn't been an all-star because he's been injured. But when the playoffs comes, he's one of the best players in the league. So, and Darvin Ham sat up there, like me and Ahmad touched on this earlier, sat there and looked at his bench. You have Jared Vanderbilt on the bench, 6'9", length, taller than Jamal Murray. Not going to sit up here and say he's stronger than Jamal Murray, but he is a good defender on ball and off ball. Mm-hmm. And you don't even put him in for a minute, cuz? Like, a minute? I understand he ain't been playing basketball since his foot injury and stuff like that, and it's been a couple months. But if he's ready to go, give him a blow. You feel me? What do we have? I mean, obviously we have everything to lose. But you feel me? Like, give him a chance. Switch it up. See Michael Malone making adjustments, putting Aaron Gordon on AD, putting KCP on LeBron. Like, come on, bro. Like, you're not making enough necessary adjustments.
No, literally, he's letting his players be cannon fodder.
And look at this right now. I got my TV on. It's on mute. It's the Pat McAfee show. Shams is on here, and they just posted the Twitter slips that I just read to everybody. and it says what is next for LeBron and the Lakers. You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah, Darvin Ham, trying to kick rocks, going, my bro. Boy. Trying to kick rocks, cuz.
You cook yeah, chicken, bro.
Keep it a buck. If bro want to ever coach in the NBA, he better pray that it be not a Mark Jackson situation. Because even Mark Jackson didn't say no dumb shit like this. And bro still ain't got a job in the league. Like, you're throwing your players under the bus actively, and then you also admit that you can't stop the best player on the team during the series. And then also, there are screenshots and videos of you not having shit on your board. You saying, all we can do is play hard. My nigga, I could say that to some 15-year-olds right now, coaching JV.
Yep.
Like, what are you talking about? All you could do is play hard. All we could do is outwork them. What? Yes, duh. Like, oh.
Yep.
He's never, like, he'll be lucky if he'll be an assistant coach on a bad team. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
It's really bad, bro. Like, even with Mark Jackson, he really got moved out of the way from, like, I guess organizational reasons. Like, Mike wasn't getting along, but he built that Warriors team. You know, me being a Warriors fan, I watched him. He built that team. That team was phenomenal, set up by him. And so Steve Kerr just came in and did the job. But one thing I do want to touch on real quick, I do think, and it really disheartened me to find out that Adrian Griffin, like, the reason why he lost his job was just insane. It had nothing to do with him. But I think that the Lakers should try to push to get Adrian Griffin. I think that that would be a great pickup, in my opinion. He had the Bucks where they, you know, would have, like, should have been in the games that he coached. I think what he did was phenomenal. I think y'all need somebody like him, because I don't really see any other veteran coaches moving around. I think everybody's really found their spot. But I think for the coaches that are out there, I think he would be a great pickup for the Lakers. And he actually coaches. That's the big thing. they were number one in the East when he was there. And what happened when Doc got there, it started plummeting. So I think if y'all get Adrian Griffin, I think LA would love him. And I think y'all would actually win. But it depends on, you know, players staying and players going, you know what I'm saying? But I think he'd be a great pickup.
Like I said earlier, man, I mentioned Budenholzer as one of the available coaches out there. Honestly, I don't think he fits LA. I just mentioned one coach.
Honestly, I
wouldn't mind having Mark Jackson.
Please.
Just for the simple fact is that he did build the Warriors. And honestly, he's just been blackballed out the league for some odd reason.
Oh, God.
Stupid. But I've always advocated of Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson should have been the coach for a couple jobs now. I really don't know who should be coaching this team. I mean, I get your point with Adrian Griffin. I just don't feel like he fits the limelight in the spotlight with LA. You got to be mentally and physically strong for that job. I ain't gonna cap. It's one of the toughest jobs in the NBA. Being
very true.
Los Angeles Lakers coach, because the fans, because the expectations that you immediately have, because every year, if we have at least one star, we're expected to win. Like, it's just, that's just how we roll. That's just how things are been put in place for us over the years. So honestly, I don't know what coach out there or any assistant coaches that's looking to become a head coach would fit our team and our destination. I don't know if it'll be Adrian Griffin. I'm honestly not sure. I'm curious to see what we're gonna do, because I'm highly likely that we're gonna fire Darvin Ham after that bullshit I just seen. So I don't know, bro. I don't know.
Yeah, we gotta pray just that we get somebody decent at this point, because I can't go through the last 10 years of coaching that we done had. Byron Scott, Frank Vogel, Luke Walton, and Darvin Ham.
Man, gonna crash it out.
Oh my god. Give it to Mark Jackson, please. If he fail, at least we tried him. At least
I don't think he'll fail. That's the thing.
No, I don't think he will either. But we have proven this theory wrong in the past. I didn't think Frank Vogel would fail. Then he did. I didn't think Darvin Ham would be successful, but he proved me wrong to a point. So I don't know. It's weird. Like you said, Lakers' job is probably the hardest in the NBA, if not the hardest. Mm-hmm. So, we'll see.
Yeah, man. We'll see, man. You know, it's a lot to take sight to. But hopefully they find something in LA. Hopefully the Bus family is able to do something. But you know, as always, it's been a pleasure with y'all boys getting on this podcast, man. You know, it's good to have P on here and giving his insight, especially about them Los Angeles Lakers. especially about the Lakers, man. But, you know, we'll be back here next Tuesday. And as always, go Dawgs, go Bucks, baby.
Go Dawgs, go Bucks.
Yes, sir.
Now, boys, have a good one.
Yes, sir.